How many people are walking around right now with anxiety diagnosis, depression diagnosis, ADHD diagnosis, autism diagnosis, whatever, one of these slippery illnesses, conditions, with a dodgy diagnosis, a diagnosis that they don't really need and that isn't helping them whatsoever? Hi there, welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm your host, Ross Edwards. Today we're going to be talking about the diagnosis obsession. You're going to understand why diagnoses are useful tools, not perfectly true, not absolute. You're going to learn how to view and use diagnoses in a healthier way. You're going to understand why diagnoses can be useful, but can also be deeply harmful, and how to relate to them properly. And we're going to get right to the point by discussing how diagnoses have become trendy. Before we do, just want to say, I have new long-form episodes every Wednesday, as always. Snippets on Thursday, Sunday and Tuesday of those long-form episodes. These all come out 9 p.m. Central European Time, 8 p.m. UK Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure to subscribe on Apple or Spotify. And if this resonates, my fortnightly newsletter is the best place to follow my latest thinking. So you'll find a link in the description to that. And you can also find my books there too if you want to go really deep. I really encourage you to listen to my episode, What is Psychology?, which is episode 143, a few episodes back, because these two dovetail together very well. When we're talking about what is psychology and we're talking about diagnoses, well, these two things are obviously going to be related. I would really go and encourage you to listen to that after this one, because that is very foundational to your understanding. So the diagnosis obsession. Now, I did promise that we're going to start by talking about how diagnoses are trendy. So let's do that. Diagnoses are trendy at the moment, especially things like autism, ADHD, anxiety, depression, and the informal and anecdotal data around me reveal quite a lot. You know, I sort of listen to people in my generation, or roughly my generation, speaking about, you know, their life and their emotional state, or the life of others, emotional state of others. And it seems like the default explanation for things is that someone has anxiety or depression, or they have autism, or they have ADHD, or something along those lines. And in fact, I know people who've been diagnosed with these things, and I'm sure that you probably do as well. You see, it's become like how we understand things, and it seems to be what we fall back on when we want to find an explanation for something. I mean, let's face it. How many people have you heard saying something like, I think I have autism because of X or Y or Z, or I think I have ADHD because of X or Y or Z? And interestingly enough, the X, Y or Z is not some like insurmountable medical issue. Often it's just like a fairly common, innocuous human trait. You know, they'll describe something, you know, maybe they'll talk about how they watch YouTube all the time or something. And they'll say, oh, I must have ADHD because I watch YouTube all the time. And they're kind of joking, but they're actually kind of not. And it's like, you're describing like a sort of a semi-serious vice. I mean, listen, YouTube addiction, I'm sure, can get pretty serious. But for most of us, it's a vice. It's not serious as such. Like, it's not like seriously like disrupting our lives. You know, they take something like a vice, which we all have our vices, and they turn it into like this reason for having a condition that can be rather serious. You see, we're very quick to diagnose ourselves, to diagnose other people, to diagnose, you know, in conversation about others. Oh yeah, I think she must have she must have anxiety problems, she must have depressive problems, or this or that. And Like, really just notice that in your social circle. Like, I'm talking very informally here because, again, it's really just part of our everyday language now. And also notice how people kind of get touchy around this topic. Like, they kind of implicitly assign this untouchable value to these conditions. Like, as soon as they say they might have autism, as soon as you question that, they might get uppity with you. Or hell, if they get diagnosed with like anxiety or something, you come along and say, and I have done this because listen, I've got quite strong views on these topics and I am informed to some degree that they get very, very touchy about it. And to me, that is like, that's a really bad sign. Like when you don't want to question these things, when you just want a label for something and you want to like build an identity around it and you want to get touchy about it, you see that's, to me, that's a really bad sign. Before we go any further, because I forgot to say this earlier on, I just want to give a disclaimer. I am not qualified to diagnose or treat medical conditions, right? So I just want that to be very clear before we go any further. However, though I'm not part of the medical system in terms of like, you know, I'm not like a full-time psychologist, a full-time doctor, whatever, I do think that is actually a strength in my case because I'm not getting paid to diagnose people and treat them under the current medical system. My value is being original and doing things that are not just your standard medicine, your standard psychology. Like that's, my role is to be creative. And if I was a psychologist or a doctor, I probably wouldn't be as creative because of the constraints. But we'll get to that side of things later on as well. So what happens when, you know, back to the trendiness thing, you know, as soon as you give a name to something, as soon as you give something, oh, I think I might have ADHD or anxiety or depression, what are you going to do? You're going to go and get a diagnosis. And listen, most of the time you get a diagnosis. Like, most of the time you do. In fact, I remember reading like a report someone had done or some sort of a study someone had done on people who were like deliberately trying to get a diagnosis and most of them succeeded when there was actually nothing wrong with them. Now listen, you'll have to go and look that up for yourself, but I don't know the exact details, but it was something along those lines that basically the barrier, this like experiential data, if you go into like medical centers or whatever, the barrier is very low. And in fact, just another like tidbit here is I remember I actually had this problem myself because I sort of for a while thought I might have had autism. I remember I was sort of looking into getting a diagnosis for it, and it's amazing how easy it was. And it was, it's amazing. I didn't get a diagnosis. I'm talking about the process. Like I searched online to get a diagnosis from a medical company that wasn't like a private medical company, and it felt like they were, I don't want to like make them sound like charlatans or make them sound like greedy business people, but it was like they were really keen to like get you diagnosed. That's all I can say about their marketing. And listen, they did charge for it, so you know there was an interest in that regard. But anyway, I think there's a good amount of like anecdotal experiential data, and of course I'm sure there's been studies done on this about, but I like, you know, I'm not, just as a thing, you might wonder, like, why do you never talk about studies? You never talk about this report and that report? Because that's not my game. Like, I'm not a professor. I'm not, like, I don't want to sit and read studies. That's not my thing. I like looking at human psychology on the ground. Like, and I like analysing people. I like analysing myself. And I draw a lot of my conclusions from there and the books I read. Like, and the podcasts I might listen to. I'm not one for reading studies. So in this regard, all I'm giving you is there's a lot of people saying that it's very easy to get a diagnosis. And given the amount of people I know that have a diagnosis of this kind, I'm not surprised, okay, that this is not just me that's coming to that conclusion. And what happens when you're given a diagnosis, just because of how the medical system works, You get medication. You've got X, Y, or Z. Therefore, we're going to give you A, B, or C medication for it. Right? Now, what happens when you start getting medication for something? You start feeling like a bit of a hospital case. You start feeling like you're like an ill person. Not just that you're in a certain state or you're going through a certain period in your life, which is what most illness actually is. Like, most people don't have lifelong illnesses. It's just, you know, it's a period. But once you're on the medicine, it's like very easy to start creating that identity. By the way, this is not just an opinion. Like, I've literally done this myself, and I'm going to come on to that in just a few minutes here. You start getting treated like an ill person, you know, you start getting checkups, you start having to do this and that every few weeks, every few months. Maybe you get therapy, you're on your medication, you need to take it every day. Now you've got the professional validation, you know, so you can tell your friends, oh, I've got anxiety, I've got depression, I've got ADHD, and, you know, this explains this and that explains that, and this means that we're going to have to change this thing about how we, you know, socialize and all this, and you have this label, and you've got this, like, explanation for your inner state. But what if all this was unnecessary, fabricated, and self-perpetuating? Like, what if this diagnosis was just, is not the right way to go for you? Now, I'm not saying that if you get a diagnosis of this kind, that nothing is wrong with you, or that nothing, you need, don't need to change anything about your life. What I'm saying is, like, for example, how many people are taking medicine, and how many people are getting official diagnoses from doctors that don't actually need them, or don't actually benefit from them at all? Like, I leave that as an open question, but when I ask that question to myself, I think probably a lot of people, because the people around me that have been diagnosed with these things, I'm so skeptical. Like, I'm so skeptical of these diagnoses. Like, just, you know, on the day-to-day ground, you know, on the ground level, like the people I know and my own experience in this matter, which I'll get onto, it's like, I'm so skeptical of these diagnoses, especially, you know, these things like ADHD and autism and anxiety, which, for one thing, they are, I mean, they're not entirely subjective, but a lot of it's subjective, and ultimately it comes down to you have to give a subjective opinion on it if you're going to get a diagnosis for it. That's another thing about this problem, is the doctors don't even know you. But okay, well, we can come back to that later on. I'm just so skeptical of, like, particularly these things that have become kind of trendy, and it's kind of like everyone's got them. And yes, some people get triggered by that. But if you're getting triggered right now, I just ask you, why are you getting triggered? Is it because there might actually be truth in what I'm saying and you don't want to hear it? Or is it because, I'm genuinely wrong about this? Like, I'm not saying I'm absolutely right. I'm just saying, why are you getting triggered? If you are getting triggered, because I know this triggers a lot of people. Anyways, let's move on to the next section, which is my kind of inspiration behind this episode. And really, I think it's one of the kind of hidden inspirations behind all the work I do, and why I might come across as quite kind of irreverent, perhaps, and not, and kind of independent, and not buying into all the kind of cliches and whatnot. Listen, this is not just theory, and this is not just me sitting at home and, you know, coming up with my ideas and, like, looking at people around me and coming up with my ideas. I've actually been in this situation, right? So basically, I've talked about this in an episode called My Depression Experience. So you can go and check it out. I'll put the number down below so you can locate it. Long story short, I'd had a bad breakup. I was in a job I really didn't like. I mean, looking back now, it's kind of obvious where this came from. But at the time, it wasn't so obvious. I was going through a breakup, which really hurt me. I was in a job that I didn't like, and I was, you know, I was having a really tough time, and I thought, maybe this is depression. Maybe this is what they call depression. Am I depressed? Am I one of those depressed people? So I started looking up on the internet, you know, the symptoms of depression, and I was like, shit, this is me. Like, this is literally me. So I went to the doctor, and you know, there wasn't much time for the appointment, really. It was 5 or 10 minutes. It was a questionnaire. And basically, I got... It was a very sort of distant thing. Like, that was one of the things that struck me about it. Even though back then, I didn't really pay all that much attention. This was 12 years ago now, and I'm very different now to what I was then. But even then, I kind of felt, shit, this is kind of weird. Like, this is a very weird atmosphere for something like this. Like, it doesn't really feel like how it... I imagined it would. Like, it was very clinical and sort of cold and distant. But yeah, anyway, 5 minutes later, I was on the way to the pharmacy to get my prescription for, can't remember what antidepressant it was, but it was one of the common ones. So, and it's funny because I remember after I got the diagnosis, it got worse. And I remember kind of, I literally started feeding into it. I really did. I started paying more attention to my symptoms. I started looking for symptoms that I hadn't noticed before. One example, I always remember this, is I remember seeing that if depressed people often see things that aren't actually there. Like, literally, I mean, they might see a person's face that isn't there. Like, they might, out the corner of their eyes, think they see someone when they actually don't. I remember I was walking to work one day and I thought I saw someone walking towards me and I didn't. Now, and I thought, oh, that's like a sign I'm depressed. And that like made it worse. I'm not joking. That really made it worse. I was like, shit, this is just more evidence. But listen, I mean, I'm saying this to myself as much as just like everyone out there, is we all have moments like that where we see things that we don't think we see things that we actually don't. We think we're walking down the street and out the corner of our eye we think we see a dog or a cat, or we think we see a car or something, and no, you've not seen that. Doesn't mean you're depressed. The problem is when you've been diagnosed with something. In my case, I was diagnosed with depression. I was sort of looking for other symptoms because I was sort of on the alert, which there was nothing malicious about it. I wasn't trying to like fake it, but inevitably you kind of do, because it's a very weird thing to be given a set of tablets. I mean, listen, I know a lot of people take tablets for different things. I've always been very healthy, and I was 18 at the time, or 19, and I was never ill, really. I don't get ill, and I'm a very healthy person. And going around with these tablets and having to take them all the time, it really starts to mess with you. Like, it really starts to change your identity, because you're like, shit, I might, like, there's something actually wrong with me. Like, and in my case, that was very potent. And eventually it led to a semi-serious suicide attempt. If that makes you feel uncomfortable, don't worry. Like, it's totally cool. It was ages ago. And I'm over it. Like, it's fine. I don't want to blame people. I don't want to blame professionals. I don't want to blame the health system. I don't think it's the health system's fault. I'm not blaming anyone. And I don't even want to necessarily blame myself. But for some reason, a breakup and being in a shit job eventually, and being diagnosed with depression, eventually got me to the stage that I felt it necessary to have a semi-real attempt at suicide. And I'm not trying to blame anyone, but I'm just trying to assign cause to something. Part of the reason was the diagnosis. I'm pretty certain of it. Because, listen, look, if I had to go to a psychologist, no depression diagnosis, and they'd said, Ross, listen, you're going through a breakup. And this is literally the truth. Like, this is the truth. And this is what annoys me about my experience, is that no one, not even my therapist at the time, said this to me, but it's just the truth of the situation is that I was going through a breakup that affected me badly, and I was going to probably be in pain for a few months. And there was nothing, there's nothing pathological about that. But what happens when they give the label depression, they don't talk about the cause, and you get tablets, you feel like you're fucked up, and they're like, you're it's pathological. You're just going through a breakup and you're just working in a shitty job. that was like, it sounds so stupid and simple, but that's like 90% of it, literally. And nobody said that, like not even my therapist. I did like 3 or 4 months of talk therapy, and fair enough, it's maybe not within their remit to say that, but I'm sure on a human level, she was a 40, 50 year old woman. I'm sure she was sitting there thinking, mate, you were just head over heels for that girl, and you're struggling to get over the fact that she broke up with you. She was probably sitting there thinking that. Now listen, it's tough to ask her, but that's what I say to myself now, and I think if I could see it now, surely she could see that. At no point did she say that. Again, I'm not blaming her, because maybe she literally can't. I know that certain therapy modalities, you can't say things like that. Like, you cannot come to the conclusion for the client, even if it's quite an obvious one. Because at the end of the day, it might be obvious for you, but actually, that might not be the case. But in my case, if she'd said that, it would have been true. But anyways, why am I saying this? But I'm saying this because, one, I'm not just sitting on a pedestal preaching to the world. I've actually been there, and I've been at a stage where it got pretty serious, and it's baffling. It gets really baffling to me how you can give someone a diagnosis after a 5-minute questionnaire, where, listen, I was sort of predisposed to getting a diagnosis because I was in a lot of pain and I wanted an explanation. Like, and to be honest, the idea of having depression comforted me, because I was thinking like, oh, this is okay, it's a condition, but it makes me feel sort of less alone. It makes me feel less unique, because it's just depression, you know. A lot of people have depression at some point in their lives. So I was sort of predisposed to it. And so when you go in there and you're getting quizzed, I mean, listen, medicine is supposed to be objective, but this is not objective. This is like a quiz. You're getting quizzed on your state and your mood, and you're given, you know, you're asked to score 1 to 10 and all of this. You're predisposed. This is like basic, stupid, like 101 psychology. You're predisposed to that. You're going to exaggerate your answers. Like, I'm not saying I did. I'm just saying, look at how the diagnosis thing works and realize that it's not objective. Like, it wasn't objective for me. The doctor didn't even know who I was. No idea. You know? How would they know? I could have gone in there and made it up for all they know. Like, it's not like going in with a broken leg. You can go in, you could pretend you're depressed for some reason, or you could go in, maybe you're having a bad day and it looks like you're kind of depressed when you're actually just having a bad day. You go in there and you give the right answers and you come out and you've got a prescription. That could literally happen. I don't know. I guess the core of why I'm sharing that experience is just to show you how wobbly it is. It's so wobbly. It's so imperfect. It's so improvised. And I'm trying not to blame people, but I am disappointed in the medical system for what I had to go through. And listen, you know, I'm privileged. I had a doctor's 10 minutes away. I'm in the UK. I got that for free. I didn't pay for my medication. And listen, for certain problems, if you get medication in 10 minutes, it can save your life. But in my case, it was not good for me. What really needed to happen, in my opinion, was someone needed to really just sit down with me and say, I wish I could have done this myself, but I wasn't strong enough at that point in my life. Is, Ross, you've just had a breakup and you're struggling. You're not a basket case. There's nothing wrong with you. Okay, maybe there's some, you know, psychological stuff we could work on, but mate, you're going through a breakup. Everyone to some degree is going to feel that. If if you like the person, it's pretty likely that that's going to happen. There's nothing wrong with you. And yes, you probably need to change your job because it's making you miserable. That's literally it. No medicine. No medicine required. No diagnoses, no labels. And this is a problem. How many people are walking around right now with anxiety diagnosis, depression diagnosis, ADHD diagnosis, autism diagnosis, whatever, one of these slippery illnesses, conditions, with a dodgy diagnosis, a diagnosis that they don't really need and it isn't helping them whatsoever. And in fact, it could be hurting them, like I think it hurt me. So let's move on to the next section. And we're going to talk about how healthcare depends on diagnoses. Just to comment as well that this is going to be a two-part episode, because if not, this is going to be like an hour and a half long and I can't do that. I need to have a break. So we're going to make a two-part episode. Part two will be out next week. This section, I want to talk about how healthcare depends on diagnoses. Now, a little disclaimer here, sort of as a joke, but I'm being serious, is I don't want to like turn you into a health system hater. Like, we're very lucky in the West, in the modern West, to have what we have. Even if it's expensive, like if you're in the US, I know it's expensive. I don't have that problem. Luckily, I'm in Europe and I get healthcare through the tax system, which is, considering where human beings used to be, just not that long ago, it's just remarkable. But that doesn't negate the fact that healthcare depends on diagnoses and therefore it's limited, it's partial, it's not perfect. It might be very good in comparison to what we used to have, which wasn't very much, but it's problematic. So what do I mean by this? Well, listen, for example, you go to a healthcare professional and you describe your state. Well, what they're going to be trying to do is diagnose you as having something, or having some sort of condition. You might wonder, that's just so obvious, Ross. Why are you saying that? Well, that's exactly my point. It's that obvious that we don't question it. We just think, well, if I've got a certain inner state or physical state or whatever, then I must have a disease or I must have a condition. Well, not necessarily. Like, why does it have to be the case? But yet, when you go to a healthcare professional, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Now, I'm not saying they're doing it because it's their fault, but that there's many factors why, and we're going to talk about that. I'm just saying that is what they're doing, right? The reasons for that are separate. That's what they do. They try and give you a diagnosis. Just let that sink in. Isn't that? I mean, that itself is a remarkable data point, because you could quite easily imagine, for example, I could have gone to a doctor, 12 years ago, described my inner state, and they could have said, okay, so you feel terrible. Okay, so you feel listless. Okay, so you're missing this girl. Okay, so X, Y, Z. And not give me a diagnosis. Why would the diagnosis really help? You know, what does giving this name actually do? Now listen, we're going to talk about what it does in a minute, but just as a question, like as an inquiry, to help you realize that's one way of approaching the sort of question of helping people and helping them improve their health, is we give them a diagnosis. But in my case, like, why give them a diagnosis? What does having the label depression, how does that make it different from this person feels sad quite often and they're missing someone and this and that? In fact, the description of the inner state to me is a lot richer than the diagnosis. But anyways, another example, well, let me explain perhaps why they're like this, why they're seeking a diagnosis is, first of all, they're trained this way at university. Now, I didn't study medicine at university, but I mean, it just seems kind of obvious that that's the case. That's what they study. They study illness. They study the name of this illness, the name of that illness, this, you know, this condition, that condition. They need to know the symptoms. They need to know the treatment. They need to know this and that. That's how it's done. Now, obviously, they're not just only studying conditions and illnesses, but again, I'm just surmising, but I can imagine that a large percentage of what they do is that. It's diagnosing and it's treating. And this is how their health center or their practice operates. You know, that's how the medical system works. They think in terms of how many people get this illness per year, how many times, you know, how many patients do we have that have, we've had to prescribe this for that condition. You know, that when they're talking in meetings, they're talking about diagnosing people. They're talking about treatment plans and so on. It also enables them to medicate you. You know, once they have a diagnosis, then they have kind of a veto to give you medication for that, because, you know, they do this all the time. They get someone coming in with depression or anxiety and they need to give you medicine for it. They'll know what to give you off the top of their head because that's their job, right? So they've got that there, you see? But that's a bias, you see? That is a bias. Why should someone have to leave with medication? And you say, well, that gives them it might help them and it might help them change their state. Yes, I get that. But you're not seeing the downsides of it. And you're not seeing that the whole premise of diagnosing someone is based on like so many kind of assumptions and so many kind of conclusions that are questionable. It also enables you to claim insurance, like, you know, let's say you've got private insurance for your work. To get time off, like let's say you want to get time off because you're not able to work, you need to have a diagnosis and you need to have like a doctor's note, right? So you're biased to getting a diagnosis as well. And what choice do you have? I don't say that to be judgmental. I'm just saying, what choice do you have? You have to, if you're claiming to your employer, I think I'm suffering from anxiety. You need to have a doctor's note. You need to have a diagnosis, right? So you go in there. And I'm not saying you're skiving off work. And I'm not saying that you're like maliciously trying to fool the doctor. What I'm saying is that you go in there with a bias towards being diagnosed because you have to be diagnosed, right? If you don't, you're not going to get, you might get time off, but you might not get the insurance. You might not get your sick pay. I don't know all the ins and outs of these things I'm not an expert on these things, but generally you need a diagnosis, you need a doctor's note. So there you go. That, and it might seem like such a trivial point, but again, if I'm saying that diagnoses are a tool that are sometimes helpful and sometimes really not helpful, why is it the default? Why? Just have a think about that. It's efficient to diagnose people. This is another reason why healthcare professionals want to diagnose. It's just efficient. It's just an easy way of categorizing people, of giving you a label, of sorting people, of sort of slimlining the entire process, you see, beyond the fact that they need it to give you medicine. But it makes it all a lot easier than having to sit and like categorize people according to their exact inner state and they're missing this person and that person. But again, I would argue that the description of a person's actual inner experience, for one thing, their inner experience is not depression. Their inner experience is their inner experience, right? That's not to put it on a pedestal. It's just to say that depression is a label that we give to something, right? And the inner experience is a lot richer and a lot more human and normal than the depression label. Also, it's safer legally to give diagnoses. Imagine you went to a hospital and you were paying thousands of dollars and you were getting treated for something without a diagnosis, that's very sticky legally. Like, if something goes wrong and the doctors haven't diagnosed you and there's not like official documents proving it and all the rest of it, very sticky legal territory. So the diagnosis functions as like a legal safeguard in that. It's like a legal guarantee, you might say, which again has its upsides, of course, but it has its downsides. And finally, they do this because they don't question it. I just really get the impression that doctors don't seriously think about these questions. I might be wrong about that. I hope I'm wrong, but the experiences I've had, doctors are very much products of their environment. You know, they're products of the medical system that they were trained in for 5, 7, 10 years, and then that they've worked in for that length of time, and that is providing them with their livelihood. They're products to it and they're loyal to it. Of course they are. It couldn't really be any other way. I mean, we're all loyal to, I'm loyal to being an entrepreneur. That's my bias. Their bias is that they're loyal to the system that they're a product of. And this means that they don't question that system. And the whole system is built on diagnoses. And they seem often really limited in their ability to bring a questioning attitude to it, of bringing like a careful eye, of really asking, is a diagnosis what the person needs? And to be honest, it's not that they're just limited because of their own mind, but simply just because of the legal side, you know, the paperwork and so on. They simply can't do that. And so once you've been doing that for decades, well, you're not going to question it very much, are you? Another reason why the health system depends on diagnosis is, and this one is controversial, it's kind of the elephant in the room, and if you don't like the harsh truth of things, well, this might piss you off, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's a lot of financial interest in diagnoses. I've said it. There's a lot of money in you getting diagnosed for things. Simple as that. Especially in the private sector. Like in the public sector, I'm sure there's money there somewhere. Like, I'm sure of it. There's a lot of money in medicine. But, you know, even if you don't see the money like in front of your eyes, but it's obvious, we all know there's a lot of money in medicine, especially in the private sector. And, well, listen, first of all, if you go to a doctor or a hospital and they diagnose you, well, they can put you on a treatment plan, which they're going to charge you for if it's private. And if you're in America, well, you need your insurance to pay for it. So your insurer is earning money and the medical center is earning money off you. And you know, once they give it a name, they give you a diagnosis with a name, it becomes a formal thing. And so you sort of become not a patient, not someone who's having a difficult time with their health, but you become like a contractor. You become a party in the contract. It's like you're basically in a financial contract at that point. Like once you sign onto a treatment plan, and no, I've never done this because I've always had state-funded healthcare. Thanks to the UK and to Spain for that. But I'm just, you know, I'm assuming this is how it works. Once you sign to a contract, a treatment plan, a payment plan, there you are. You're in a financial contract. You're not just a healthcare patient anymore. You're not just someone trying to, you know, improve their mood or to, you know, lose weight or whatever it is. You're in a contract. And that changes the whole thing. And then once you're in a treatment plan, what's the treatment usually about? Mostly it's medicine. Now, who's behind medicine? Pharmaceutical companies. let's just say that pharmaceutical companies are among the richest companies in the world. There's the word big pharma doesn't exist for, you know, we're not just making it up. So the pharma companies want you to take medicine. Of course they do. So they want you to be diagnosed. Of course they do. Because if they don't sell, if they don't make money, and how do they make money? They make money by selling medicine. They're going to die. Their business will not work. The shareholders will not earn money. Their employees will not be employed anymore. Their brand will go down the toilet and all the rest of it will not exist. And I'm not saying this, I think some of it is sinister, quite honestly. I don't think it's as sinister as people make it out to be. I think a lot of this just boils down to unconsciousness and to expediency and to habit more than anything else. But which, I mean this like in the literal sense, they need you to be diagnosed and medicated. And again, I'm not saying that as like there's of evil masterminds. I'm just saying literally they need that because otherwise the company could not survive, right? So this imposes huge pressure on the entire system. You know, basically medicine needs to be sold. Who do they sell medicine to? People with diagnoses. So they need to sell, they need to diagnose people. Now I'm not saying, I don't know how it works, right? So I'm not saying necessarily that pharmaceutical companies are in cahoots with medical centers and so on. I don't know. I mean, I do know that they give samples out and they do their sales and their marketing, of course. Of course they do. But in any, whatever, however it works, however it actually works in the real world, there's huge pressure on the system to diagnose people. And again, I'm not trying to make a judgment on who's responsible and why they're doing it. It doesn't matter, actually. What matters is that there's a pressure. And when we're trying to understand the nature of diagnoses, we have to realize that there's actually a pressure. There's literally a survival pressure in the medical system for people to be diagnosed, right? Again, as literal as I can possibly be about that, I could have been even more literal about than saying survival pressure. It's just obligatory. It's just, they need to sell medicine. Otherwise, there's no industry, right? Now, I'm not saying like you need to become a pharma activist. I'm not saying you need to like start going out on the streets. I'm not saying you never need to go to a doctor. I never said that. What I'm just saying is I want you to be aware what is happening here. A lot of this is not very well thought out. A lot of it's because of habit and loyalty and expediency, and a lot of it's because of money, and not in a nefarious way, just in the fact that money makes the world go round, and so there needs to be money coming in. There has to be money coming in. Like, it's a survival pressure. So just notice, like, I've been speaking for a good 15-20 minutes, I think, about how the healthcare system depends on diagnoses. Just take that on. Take that in as a principle that the healthcare system runs on diagnoses. Just let it sink in. Just let that really sink in. That's how it runs. So obviously there's going to be a bias towards diagnoses. There's going to be a bias towards giving them. There's going to be a bias towards perpetuating it because that's the driver of the system. And also there's going to be a real resistance to questioning it. So if you're resisting what I'm saying, obviously you're free to disagree with me. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying if you're getting triggered, it might be just because you yourself are locked into the mindset that there needs to be diagnoses happening, right? Maybe that is the right way. Maybe we should be giving diagnoses to everyone. But maybe it's more complicated. And in fact, in these two episodes on diagnoses, of which part one is coming to an end, that's what we're doing. We are showing that it's a lot more complicated than that. And we will, of course, continue next week with part two of my episode on the diagnosis obsession. All right, everyone, I'm going to wrap up for today. Remember, the next listen is my episode, What is Psychology? Episode 143. You will get a really strong foundational introduction to how I see psychology. And just if you're going to continue listening to this podcast, I'd really recommend you start there. I've got new long form episodes every Wednesday, and I've got snippets on Thursday, Sunday and Tuesday. Always everything at 9 p.m. Central European Time, 8 p.m. UK Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If this episode resonated, my fortnightly newsletter is the best place to follow my latest thinking. You'll find the link in the description to that. You'll also find my books there as well if you want to go really deep. And of course, come back next Wednesday for part two of my episode on the diagnosis obsession, where we're going to really go into the nature of diagnosis, whether it's a good thing, whether it's a bad thing. How do you know for yourself if it's the right way to go? Don't miss it. I'll see you then. Until then, take care.